This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
I've got Senator Wendy Rogers, former governor of Missouri Eric Greitens, plus candidate for superintendent of public instruction Sherry Sapir. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. That was a mouthful. Yeah, it's going to be a busy 2 hours of the program. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. And yeah, we're getting a lot of candidates in because this is very important heading into the 2022 election. So I want to get them on the record early and talk with them often to find out what they're all about so we can try to change what's going on in this country, even in this state. And I guess you can ask yourself, is it too late to change the system? Maybe it is for Washington, D.C. I don't know. I hope it's not, but it's so bad with the debt and the federal power grabs and all of that, that I think we really have to almost focus on our state and make sure we have as powerful as a state and the right people in office to make sure that we have people that have the strength to put a roadblock up against kind of the federal control and this power grab that's going on. But we'll talk about that today. We have actually former governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens, is going to join us. And he's here in Arizona because he's been paying close attention to the election audit. He's a friend of LD6 Senator Wendy Rogers, who was on the program just last week and broke down the election audit for us in that presentation and the audit report. And he wants to bring an audit to Missouri. He's a former governor. Now he's also running for Senate there in Missouri. So we'll talk to him about that, what Missouri, what some other states are doing, and also what I feel like is almost hopelessness in D.C., and if he wants to run for Senate, how can we even change this system going forward? And then we'll also talk with Sherry Sapir, who is running to be superintendent of public instruction for Arizona. She's running for the Republican nomination. Jane Betcher helped connect us. She's actually going to be in Flagstaff. Sherry is going to be in Flagstaff this Friday at 5 p.m., Friday, October 8th at Mountain View Bible Church at 2150 East Linda Vista Drive. So if you want to go do a Q&A and find out what she stands for beyond what we're going to talk about here today during the show, 5 p.m. this Friday. I'll put it in the show notes so you can get all that information. If you want to chime in, I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless text line is open for you. Go ahead and send me a text anytime, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. Sponsor for this segment of the show is our good friends at the Blind Brothers. And when you call the Blind Brothers for blinds, shutters, or shades, you're going to work directly with them and 3 decades of combined experience, never with subcontractors. And right now, my listeners get half off installation with the Blind Brothers. Just mention that you heard about it right here on the show. You get half off plus in addition to any other advertised specials. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. That's theblindbrothers.com. All right, let's do some Arizona news information and roundup here for the first segment. Did that yesterday, and I enjoyed that, trying to keep you up to date what's going around the state. I think I have a national one in here as well, though. And then we'll get to Governor Greitens and Senator Rogers, and then the 5 o'clock hour we'll get to candidate for superintendent for public instruction, Sherry Sapir. It looks like a familiar name is back in the election process here in Arizona, and that is former sheriff of Maricopa County, Joe Arpaio, has announced that he intends to run for mayor this time, Mayor Fountain Hills. Fountain Hills is, what, 25,000 people or so, and I know he's lived there for quite a while. He was sheriff. You all know Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I think we had him on a show 1 or 2 times here in the past, maybe even more. He was Maricopa County Sheriff for 24 years. And remember the pink underwear? Something like that. Or is it definitely the bologna sandwiches? And he did all that. Hey, you're going to eat the green bologna sandwiches. And, you know, after 24 years, somebody did defeat him for that race. Then he ran for Senate in 2018 for the Republican nomination. He tried to rerun for sheriff back in 2020. Now he wants to be mayor of Fountain Hills. He's 89 years old right now. He'd be 90 if he's successful in his bid. He'd be 90 years old when he took office for mayor. Your thoughts? Go ahead and text me a comment, 877-971-3971. The feds, speaking of D.C., talked yesterday about some of the stuff Ducey was doing, and I think I mentioned this grant that's available for people if they want to get them out of schools that have the mask mandates, or we've talked about it in the past, and Ducey offered up money. It was federal money. It's the money that came over because of all the COVID money that flowed in, and to help families get out of these bad systems. Well, Arizona families reporting that the feds have ordered Ducey to stop giving anti-mask grants to schools. So the feds are using that big stick again. And we'll talk with Sherry about this in the 5 o'clock hour. But Ducey launched this $163 million grant program using federal funding that he controls. He controls the disbursement of this money. He made it available to schools without mask mandates. And then he established this $10 million program that offers vouchers to families at public schools that require masks or that tell students to isolate or quarantine due to COVID-19 exposure. I'm aware of this program. It's oversubscribed. Let's go with that. It was $10 million. I think they had $20 million in requests. Actually, we're sending our kids to private schools. We applied and we got denied. We get denied for everything, which is fine. But anyway, in a letter to Ducey, the Treasury Department said the grant programs, quote, are not a permissible use and the federal funding. It's the latest attempt, Cornese family here by the Biden administration to push back against Republican governors who have opposed mask mandates and otherwise sought to use federal pandemic funding to advance their own agendas. And Arizona, I guess, is one of 8 states. Only 8. We need more people to stand up for us in this country. But only one of 8 states that have laws or executive orders banning mask requirements in public schools. And as you know, this mask mandate is now being litigated. It's heading to the Supreme Court. There was supposed to be a ban on mask mandates that the People's House passed. The legislature did pass this, but the lawyers for the school board association say, oh, nope, you can't put that in the budget. So the people's will is once again being ignored. So there you go. Let's see. No transplant if unvaccinated. This is the national one I got for you. This is an article from MSN. A Colorado-based health system company says it is denying organ transplants to patients not vaccinated against the coronavirus in, quote, almost all situations, citing studies that show these patients are more likely to die if they get COVID-19. So there you go. If you need a transplant, organ transplant in Colorado in this one system, and if you don't get the vaccine, you're denied an organ. You're taken off the list. The policy illustrates the growing costs of, according to MSN, the growing costs of being unvaccinated and wades into deeply controversial territory. The use of immunization status to decide who gets limited medical care. The mere idea of prioritizing the vaccinated for rationed healthcare resources has drawn intense backlash, as it should, as overwhelmingly unvaccinated COVID-19 patients push some hospitals to adopt crisis standards of care in which health systems can prioritize patients for scarce resources based largely on their likelihood of survival. I'm not going to read anymore. This is the nation now. We have scarce resources. And we have this war between, and Biden really started this war with his stupid speech last month, in which, you know, he pitted the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. And then he started this national mandate that requires if you're an employee of 100 or more, employer of 100 or more, you have to be vaccinated. Unbelievable. Hey, speaking of shortages, there's one for Arizona, grass seed. We never thought we'd have a shortage of grass seed. I guess rye grass seed, according to what I was reading, is planted all over the place in the cooler weather, especially in the hotter, the low country, I guess we would say. Fertizona is an Arizona company that does Arizona lawn products. They, scarcity of grass seeds, scarcity of everything. And there's a quote from them. They're saying a year ago, if the golf market, you'd be looking they were paying approximately $50 a bag for the seed, for a 50-pound bag. This year, they're paying anywhere from $100 to $120 a bag just for grass seed. So the continued inflation, and I know grass seed, okay, big deal, right? But we're seeing this everywhere. One of the Federal Reserve presidents finally admitted that, hey, we're in an inflationary cycle. Inflation is not transitory. This is going to go on for a lot longer. I guarantee you, we were in a 20-year low interest rate cycle and low inflation. And before that, we were in a high interest rate inflationary cycle through the 70s and much of the 80s. Now we're back there in an inflationary cycle. And these people at the Federal Reserve, they have no clue what they're talking about except for this one president who now has come clean and said, yeah, inflation is here. So if you need to seed your lawn, if you can afford to put the water on there, it's going to cost you double, maybe triple, just to do that. Speaking of Arizona issues, Arizona redistricting meeting is happening Thursday, tomorrow, October 7th at 4 p.m. This one is actually being held in, is this a surprise? Somewhere in Phoenix, but they're doing a satellite meeting. So you can actually go to the place. And the place is High Country Conference Center as a satellite location to weigh in on Arizona's new maps for congressional seats and legislative seats. And I will put in the show notes when this show gets podcast. That's why it's important for you to subscribe to the podcast, because we put a lot of detail in there. The phone number and an access code and web instructions if you want to do the video. For folks who are listening, or you can go to the High Country Conference Center tomorrow at 4 p.m. and you can weigh in on these maps. Also, if you're in Kayenta, that's 5 p.m. because they don't do, or they do the daylight savings or whatever, they're different time zone there. You can go to Kayenta Center. They don't have the address here, but Google that. But it is limited to 15 people because they've got very capacity issues that they're following strictly up there. But the proposed congressional maps, I will also put these in the show notes for the podcast. They have Congressional District 1, which many of you are in, becomes even bigger because they have to gobble up population to make up the correct maps and the lines. The proposed right now as it stands, and this will probably change, Congressional 1 would become Congressional 2, and instead of just covering a huge chunk of northern Arizona all the way down to like the Marana area north of Tucson to the Utah border to the New Mexico border, it'll go all the way down to Mexico now, and it'll also incorporate Prescott, so it gets bigger. Prescott is currently in Congressman Paul Gosar's district, which is now CD4. His district that he's in, that I assume he'll run for re-election, I should ask him that the other day when he was on the program, CD4 becomes CD9 and gets crunched over into the very west part of the Phoenix Valley area, up through Lake Havasu, all the way up to the Grand Canyon. So the rural districts get even bigger in this current configuration. And the legislative districts change as well. You got a legislative district 7, which cuts the Navajo Nation in half and goes from Utah. Get this. The legislative district will go from Utah all the way along New Mexico, all the way down to Mexico. Unreal. Check out these pictures. Go to talkwithjeff.com. We will get them up there. Let's see what else. Oh, hey, I've got a, if you want to do something, another event that's happening tomorrow. We will talk with Senator Rogers about this when we come back, because we have Senator Rogers and former Governor Greitens of Missouri. Tomorrow, Thursday, October 7th at 7 p.m., I'm sorry, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., there's dinner at Miss Kitty Steakhouse in Williams. Mayor John Moore is going to be there. And then at 7 p.m., there's going to be a Q&A with Senator Rogers and Mayor Moore. So lots of events going on all over the place. And you should definitely participate and be involved in all of these events. All right. I'd love to get your comments. If you can go ahead and send me a text comment, I will try to get to your text comments here during the 5 o'clock hour towards the end of the show, like around 5:30-ish. Although we'll see how long we go with candidate for superintendent of public instruction, Sherry Sapir. But please get your comments in the Just Wireless text line, 877-971-3971. Love to hear from you, 877-971-3971. Let's talk about the audits going maybe to other states, maybe states like Missouri are going to begin an audit process. Plus, let's talk about how messed up D.C. is and what maybe some solutions are, if there are solutions, with former governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens, coming up, plus Senator Wendy Rogers will join us as well. Hang tight, folks. Don't go anywhere. A lot to come. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Your house needs Gutter Helmet. Installing over your existing gutters allows for water to flow freely. This is Jeff Orvitz for Gutter Helmet. For over 40 years, Gutter Helmet has been the proven solution to protect homeowners from dangerous ladders. Let Gutter Helmet protect you today and for years to come with their triple lifetime warranty. Seniors, military, and first responders get the biggest discounts. For a limited time, you can save up to 30%. Call Gutter Helmet today at 928-318-6555.
Listening to the Jeff Orvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, I'm not quite ready because I'm on myhomeco.com right now getting some stuff ready and order ready for this weekend's home project, so I need another minute or two. Anyway, folks, welcome back. We have Eric Greitens, former governor of Missouri, coming up, plus Senator Wendy Rogers. I'm at myhomeco.com, and the friendliest place in town just got a lot friendlier. You can shop easily now at myhomeco, M-Y. And here's how Homeco is spelled, H-O-M-C-O, myhomeco.com. I'll put a link in the show notes for today's podcast once that gets up there. But myhomeco.com has free in-town same-day delivery, super convenience. And as you know, Homeco's been a longtime sponsor here on the program. Great company in Flagstaff, Homeco Lumber and Hardware on Butler Avenue. And I go there all of the time because it's they've got very knowledgeable staff there that'll help you out in all the various departments. And now with myhomeco.com, you get free in-town same-day delivery. Save time and shop online at myhomeco.com, the friendliest place in town. All right, let's welcome back to the program Senator Wendy Rogers, who, as you know, has been traveling the country talking about the audit, the Arizona audit. She was actually on the program last, Monday. It's show number 1204. If you're subscribed to the podcast, you can listen back and get all the nitty-gritty and the details of the Arizona audit that was presented to Senate President Karen Fann, under 2 weeks ago. Anyway, other states are now looking at doing audits of their own, and one of them is Missouri. And we also have, and he's visiting here in Arizona with Senator Rogers, the former governor of Missouri, Governor Eric Greitens. And he's also, by the way, running for U.S. Senate. We're going to get into details about the dysfunctions and how to fix, maybe, D.C. Anyway, Governor, welcome to the program. How's it going?
Hey, Jeff. I am doing so well, man. It is great to be here with outstanding patriots in Arizona, like State Senator Rogers. And we have really enjoyed coming back down. I was here before on the front lines of the audit. It's great to be here with so many patriots around the state of Arizona. We're really helping to lead this country to get to the bottom of what happened in the 2020 election.
Yeah, let's get into all that. And Senator Rogers, I think you guys are sitting on the Senate floor right now down at the Capitol in Phoenix. So send me up a picture of that, and we'll get that on the podcast for folks to check out. But Senator Rogers, the audit did come out, and now you've been traveling around the nation working with other folks like Governor Greitens to try to bring audits to other states. What's the progress looking like there?
Great to be on the show, Jeff. Yes, we just actually landed back in Arizona yesterday evening with our airplane. There are so many other states now who have had state representatives and state senators sign my letter to decertify the 2020 presidential election, to call, in their cases, for the recall of electors in their states. We have over 90 state legislators now who have signed my letter. The second iteration of it went out yesterday on social media. This is so important that we audit all 50 states, and that state senators and state representatives, both from Arizona and all the other states, rise up to call for audits and, in some cases, decertification. I have Governor Greitens here visiting. I'm hosting him because not only did he come out to represent Missouri to look at the Arizona audit, but then I was with him in Missouri a few weeks ago to support him, to endorse him to become a U.S. Senator from Missouri. Okay. Because he's the one in Missouri who gets it.
Yeah, and let's get to that Senate race and the D.C. dysfunction here in a second, Senator and Governor. Governor, let me ask you this. Has Arizona been a model to go forward with as far as the audit? Obviously, President Trump won Missouri, but I think you've put into question the St. Louis area. I mean, what's going on? Are you using Arizona as an audit example, and are you pushing forward with an audit in Missouri? Talk about that.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks to the leadership of State Senator Rogers, some of her colleagues, like State Senator Sonny Borelli, who I know is a U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant. I served as a Navy SEAL, so love Sonny. And, you know, thanks to the leadership of President Fan here in Arizona, what's happened is that you guys have set the standard for what can happen around the country. I came down to the Maricopa County audit because I know as a Navy SEAL, you have to see things for yourself. You got to go to the front line. And I can tell you, having seen that audit, I walked away and I know that it is the most thorough, transparent, clear, professional audit that has ever taken place in the history of our republic. So yes, these patriots in Arizona, they have led the way. We now need to have audits in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia and Wisconsin. And when State Senator Rogers came to Missouri, it was very clear the number one question we get from citizens across the country and in Missouri is, does my vote matter? And that's why we need to have audits in all 50 states, because people across this country, you know, Americans, we will never all agree on who we should elect, but we should all be able to agree that our elections are sound and fair, and we should all have a belief in the integrity of our elections. So absolutely, Arizona has been leading the way. We need to have audits across the country.
Well, Governor, are you, okay, obviously you're running for U.S. Senate coming up here in the 2022 election. Do you have concerns with the election integrity going forward, or has your state put things in place, kind of like Arizona has, and I think more is on the docket coming up this legislative session, to ensure that people are more secure and that the audit is more, or the election is more secure going forward? Do you feel confident going into that 2022 election?
But Jeff, we need to do more. We absolutely need to do more to secure our elections. First, we need to have these audits of what happened in 2020. I mean, when you see in Arizona, just with the Maricopa County results, over 50,000 illegal ballots, and the left is claiming that Joe Biden won by 10,000. What happens is with these audits, it really helps people to get to the bottom, to see what the true problems are. And the fact is, we need to have reforms. We need to live in a country where there's an election day, where people show up on election day. They show up with their ID to vote. They vote with a paper ballot. And, you know, Senator Rogers and I, we both served in the U.S. military. Of course, you have your military ballots. Of course, you have ways to certify and make sure that we have authentic ballots from people who are in a nursing home, for example. But generally speaking, we have an election day, people show up with an ID, and they vote with a paper ballot. That's where we need to get to in Arizona, in Missouri, and around the country.
Senator Rogers, let me ask you this as a follow-up to what we were talking about last week when we went into, for a long time, great detail about the audit, and we talked about paper ballots. And we know that here in Arizona, I don't know, the vast majority, 80%+ vote by early ballot. So they're mailed in. Do you think it's realistic? Can we go back to a polling place situation in Arizona, or are people just too hooked to the convenience? I'm all for just showing up. We have one election day. It'd probably be better. We'd have less ads going on for forever, because there's that period before the election actually happens where the early ballots go out. Do you think we can go back to that, or are we stuck in early ballot land?
Well, if we are stuck in early ballot land, we need to move to the futuristic ballot that State Representative Mark Fincham has been promoting that has 20 different measures of security in it, in the paper, in the seals in the paper, where it can be looked at with the QR code recognition component of a phone. And then once it is cast, it is put up onto the internet immediately so someone can see if he has voted, and it can't be stolen. So if we are stuck with that model, we can still far better secure it than what it is now.
Let's get into D.C. and this U.S. Senate race. More with Governor Eric Greitens and Senator Wendy Rogers when we come back. Sponsor this segment of the show, Nova Home Loans. And if you miss this chance to refinance your current mortgage, you may be kicking yourself down the road. With rates this low, your only question should be who to call. Kim Dawson of Nova Home Loans grew up here. She understands this market. Call the girl who gets it done to start saving before interest rates move. Call 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, subject to credit approval and some restrictions may apply. Coming back with Governor Greitens and Senator Wendy Rogers. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Okay, we're going to get back to Governor Greitens here in just a second and Senator Wendy Rogers. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Please do that. I'm trying to grow this podcast so we can reach even more folks. And we got a lot of special stuff up there. And obviously, every show is podcast as well. So just look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, places like that. Basically, all of the major podcast providers. You look up Talk with Jeff, all one word, and you'll find it. And then subscribe, like it, share it. Please help us out here. You can also go to talkwithjeff.com and click on how to listen. And there's individual links to several podcast providers there as well. Sponsor this segment of shows, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. And Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona is the number one gutter protection company in the world. They've got their patented reverse curve system that keeps the pine needles out and the leaves out and all that stuff. And if you call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man right now, he'll get you set up, get you a quote. He'll talk to you about this great system. Call or text right now, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. We are talking with the former governor of Missouri and candidate for U.S. Senate, Eric Greitens, and Senator Rogers is also with us as well. Governor, let me ask you this about going to D.C., and I've become more and more under the belief that D.C., under its current form, under its current trajectory, that it's just unfixable. And I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I'm at a loss as how to fix this thing. You must have some optimism that it can be corrected, what's going on in D.C. How do you fix this mess? What do we do, Governor?
Well, Jeff, what we have to do is we have to have leaders who stand up with courage, who are willing to fight for the American people, just like Donald Trump did. And you may know, Jeff, I'm the only candidate. I came out and I said very clearly that when I'm in the U.S. Senate, we're also going to vote for new Senate leadership. I'm not going to support Mitch McConnell. We're not going to support business as usual. We're not going to support career politicians. We're not going to support serving lobbyists instead of the American people. Instead, we're going to go in. We're going to do what President Trump did, which is maintain faith and fidelity to serving the American people. You know, when I became a Navy SEAL, did four deployments overseas, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we need to have leaders who are willing to do the same thing. And the good news, Jeff, is that I know, Colonel Rogers knows, courage is contagious. And what's happening now because of Colonel Rogers' leadership, because of Sonny Borelli's leadership, you also have people around the country who are stepping up. They're stepping up in state legislatures. They're stepping up to run for the Congress, stepping up to run for the Senate. My belief, Jeff, is that we need to have leaders at every level, at school boards, in counties, in cities, in state legislatures, at the national level, who stand up and push back against the left, push back against their COVID tyranny, push back against their ridiculous efforts to defund the police, push back against the Biden administration turning our border over to Mexican drug gangs and cartels, push back against their weakness in foreign policy, push back against their efforts to debase the currency. We need to have leaders who are willing to stand up in the fight. I've been a fighter my whole life, Jeff, not just as a Navy SEAL. You know, I came back home after my team was hit by a suicide truck bomb. I saw how the government was failing my friends who'd been injured. I got in to help my fellow veterans rebuild their lives. We can revive our republic. This is a beautiful gift that we have all been granted, the opportunity to live in the United States of America. And the time has come now for all of us to stand up with courage. The left is not going to stop. They're only going to stop when we stop them. And that's why patriots around the country need to stand up and fight, just like State Senator Rogers, Sonny Borelli, and Karen Fann have been doing here in Arizona.
And Governor Greitens, I'm glad you mentioned school board, because it's the often forgot area of, you know, it's down the ballot. And what's going into our kids' heads for decades, I think, has led to where we're at. Look, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who we all may disagree with on a lot of her policies and her stances, she has been holding line as far as the filibuster here in Arizona, and holding and her and Senator Manchin and on this ridiculous $3.5 trillion spending boondoggle that folks are telling me is more like $5 trillion or more. That's not Congressman Gosar last week said it isn't even written yet. These people are standing up, and we're seeing the left almost implode. Senator Sinema got confronted in a bathroom the other day, which made national news. Here's my question. Has the left finally been exposed? I thought they were exposed when they were burning stuff down here in 2020. But have they finally gone too far, even with some of the more centrists, if there's such a thing in the Democrat Party?
Well, Jeff, they've clearly gone too far for the health of our republic, right? All of their efforts through 2020 to attack the police, to defund the police, what did that lead to? It led to the largest increase in murders in the history of our country. Over 30% more murders directly tied to their efforts to defund the police. To put a human face on that, Jeff, that's an extra 5,000 people across the country who lost their lives. And it's no mystery why that happened. It's because the left was out attacking the police. We don't need to stand for this any longer. Jeff, when I was governor and Antifa and Black Lives Matter came to Missouri, we defeated them. We defeated them. We sent them packing after 3 days, and they burned, overturned some potted plants and broken some windows. We did not allow any burning or looting. I was very clear that when I was governor, I said there is no safe space to loot and to burn like other politicians had given you. I said, when I'm governor, if you loot and you burn, the only safe space you're going to have is in a jail cell. And you know what? When people stand up with courage, we can defeat the left. You know, Jeff, I've heard from State Senator Rogers and others how you've talked about this in the past, that great quotation that we know, it's so true throughout history, that all it takes for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. Now is a time when the left has been pushing. They've been pushing to take over Hollywood, to take over the mainstream media, to take over higher ed, to take over K through 12. We need to have leaders at every level, at the school board level, at city, at county, at state, at federal level, who stand up with courage and say, now it's time for us to fight. We're going to revive our republic.
Right. And I believe...
Go ahead, Senator Rogers.
I believe we'll take the U.S. House back and the U.S. Senate in 2022. And it's my job to ensure that there's election integrity restored and faith restored in our system here in Arizona. The left can try to steal races, but they can't steal all the way down ballot. That's why it is so imperative for people to put up good folks to run for the state house, the state senate. We have a lot of openings coming across now for 2022 in each of our chambers. And for mayor is such an impactful position, yeah, as we well know, in Flagstaff in particular, and city councils and school boards. They cannot steal those races, okay? And we will ensure that they don't steal them at a higher level. You have these rogue entities who flout a state of Arizona legislation that we've passed, that the governor has signed. We cannot let this endure.
Governor Greitens, I know you guys got to get going, but Governor, if I can get maybe a thought on the last 18, 19 months with COVID. Obviously, you were governor of Missouri, and you weren't governor, though, when COVID hit. did it shock even you as far as how much authority and power and how much really abuse has gone around in around the country with governors? I mean, even governors in some red states went crazy at first, but the governors in the blue states in particular, Newsom and you have the Whitmer, Governor Whitmer there. And of course we got rid of the Cuomo guy over there that he was one of the top tyranny type governors. But did it shock even you, the power of these governors and the abuse that they imposed on their citizens?
Jeff, it was absolute tyranny. That's what it was. That's what it is. And as patriots, we need to stand up and call it exactly what it is. They are not following science. They are stifling voices, taking away people's First Amendment rights. Jeff, if we'd gotten together and you and I were talking 19 months ago, and I'd said to you, hey, man, guess what's going to happen? They're going to start threatening people with arrest if they want to go to church. You might have said to State Senator Rogers, hey, your buddy Eric, I like him, but he seems a little crazy, right? But that has, in fact, happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing, Jeff. And again, we need to stand up and we need to fight at every level. People need to go in there and do this for their kids. Do this for the future of our country. Do it because it's the right thing. And again, when people stand up, when we make our voices heard, again, Jeff, people can do that. They don't have to run for office. Let people know that you listen to Jeff's radio program.
Right.
If you're listening right now, let other people know.
Right.
This is where you get good information from. Do that. Share information. Our founding fathers knew that a republic would only survive if we had strong, courageous, informed citizens. So be informed, act with courage, and we'll take our republic back.
And hats off to you, Jeff, for your program and the fact that you stand for truth and you never back down.
I thank the both of you and you as well. You guys keep fighting. Governor Greitens, yeah, we couldn't have made up a weirder science fiction plot line than what's happened in the past 18 months. If you're a Star Trek person, I think we went through some kind of dimensional anomaly or something. But anyway, Governor Greitens, best wishes to you. Let us know how everything goes there in Missouri. And Senator Rogers, we will talk with you again real soon and get some updates as to how we're going to progress into the legislative session with hopefully more and more election reforms. And I will add vouchers for all for parents to guide their kids' education the way they want to do it.
And everybody listening, please come out to see me Thursday night from starting at 4:00 at Miss Kitty's.
Oh, great Day place. With Mayor Moore. Is Mayor Moore going to be there?
Mayor Moore and I are hosting. Come and order your dinner at Miss Kitty's at Williams. In Williams, from 4 to 6, and then enjoy the very best steak in Northern Arizona. I'm not exaggerating. And then at 7:00, we will have remarks from me and from Mayor Moore. So this has been widely promoted. We would love to see you at Miss Kitty's Steakhouse this Thursday evening to catch you up on everything.
All right. Good job, Senator Rogers. Governor Greitens, take care, and maybe I'll see you in Missouri sometime. I got to take my kids up the arch there at some point. I've been there. It's been a long time.
You're welcome anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
Sponsor this segment of the show is our good friends up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. And by the way, right now it is happy hour at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Voted best sports bar 13 years in a row. And keep in mind, tomorrow's Thursday night football. So set your calendar reminder for that because tomorrow's a big day up at Sportsman's. They've got a ton of TVs there. You can catch the game. But today is Wing Wednesday and they've got half price wings plus $3 Mexican beers and hard seltzer specials. Go up, have a great time, get some great food around some great folks as well. Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital and Flagstaff in the Bash's Shopping Center. Look, I want to hit on this federal side here a little more. We were just talking with Governor Greitens, and we'll have that full interview podcast here by about 5:40, and you can subscribe to the podcast. Just look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider, and I hope you will do that and share and spread the word on the podcast. Look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider. But the feds, so I'm talking in this case, the Federal Reserve, and you've got Janet Yellen now asking for removal entirely of the debt ceiling. So at least we've had up until this point a debt ceiling, although it's been more of a retractable roof that just keeps being pushed higher and higher. But there's been some kind of restraint on spending, although it's minimal, believe me. But if we completely remove the debt ceiling indefinitely going forward, as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen would like to have the country do, it'll be unrestrained spending. I mean, right now it's pretty unrestrained, but it'll be really bad. Plus, there's a call for by the ultra-left progressives to get rid of the current Fed chairman, which is Jerome Powell. And I have tons of disagreements with this guy. I mean, they were way off on inflation. They said it was going to be transitory. Now, one of the several of the Fed heads are saying that the inflation will remain and we're going to be in this for a while. I mean, really, I've been saying this since the beginning. We are now in an inflationary cycle, and that's very, very hard to get out of, especially if you print a bunch more money, which is exactly what they want to do. That's what this is all about, so they can enact the Green New Deal and all these wackadoodle programs at great expense to this nation, to inflation, and to future generations when it comes to debt. So we got to at least keep that debt ceiling. At least it's some kind of constraint, but I don't know. I don't know if these people have any constraints anymore. That's why you've got to be as prepared as possible, and you've got to do your best to learn as much as you can, fill your head with knowledge, increase your skill sets. I've been saying this for a while. By the way, last night I was at the Stop the Bleed training at Timberline Firearms and Training, and it was an awesome course, and it was stuff that I never knew. In 2 hours, I learned, hopefully, how to prevent someone or myself from bleeding out if there was an accident, or if I'm out there cutting wood and you have an accident. So jamming your head full of this knowledge is super important and super critical. I'm sitting there at the Stop the Bleed training out at Timberline thinking, why isn't this just taught in our high schools? This simple stuff. Everybody just learns this basic stuff. Instead of cramming critical race theory down their throats and all this other garbage that you don't need, why aren't they teaching practical stuff? And we're going to get into that next hour, because I do have a candidate for superintendent of public instruction coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Sherry Sapir is her name, and she's running for the Republican nomination. She also has an event coming up that we'll talk about in Flagstaff. This is coming up on Friday at 5 p.m., and we'll get the information of the location once we get the podcast up as well. So stick around, because we're going to talk education, and you know where I stand on vouchers and vouchers for all and the empowerment scholarship accounts. So we'll get into all of that with Sherry Sapir in just a little bit. And remember, please subscribe to that podcast. Look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider, and please send me a comment. The Just Wireless text line is open 24/7 for you. Just text me a comment to 877-971-3971. Back in just a couple minutes. The team at Hakes Insurance Agency has offered excellent service for me and my family for many years. I've been telling you this for a long time. They've been a longtime sponsor here on the program, and every year I have my insurance policies through them, and every year I have them review my policies. You know, are you paying too much? Maybe your coverage isn't right. Plus, they have this really awesome program through Farmers Insurance that gives a discount for community heroes, such as firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMT, first responders, teachers, doctors, nurses, military, whether you're active or retired. They can receive a savings on the insurance because Dan Hakes Agency wants to give back to those who give so much to keep us safe. Give Hakes Insurance Agency a call today. Tell them I sent you. 928-226-1611. That's 928-226-1611. Or check them out at hakesinsurance.com. That's H-A-K-E-S, hakesinsurance.com.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
Let's talk education, and joining us this hour is candidate for public instruction for Arizona, Sherry Sapir. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back, and welcome to another hour of the show. Jeff Horowitz here, and I do have Sherry Sapir coming up, who's running for Arizona Public Superintendent of Public Instruction for Arizona, and we're going to talk all things education. And how we can hopefully fix our education system and fix what's going into our kids' heads. We'll probably get into vouchers as well and the empowerment scholarship accounts and much, much more. And don't forget, tomorrow on the program, I think we'll spend the entire 4 o'clock hour with candidate for governor, gubernatorial candidates. Carrie Lake will join us, and we will have a ton of ground to cover. Really looking forward to that interview as well. And if you've got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Chime in on the Just Wireless text line, 877-971-3971. Sponsor of this segment of the show is WT Wealth Management. And WT Wealth Management's investment committee draws from over a century of combined expertise to create their own in-house strategies that you can make part of your portfolio. They look at things like modern-day staples like cell phones, internet providers, electronic payments, and software. Give Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management a call to talk about these strategies. Call him at 928-225-2474. There's no obligation. And remember, do your research. All investment has some risk. And read their important risk disclosures. Call Glenn at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Visit him by going to WTWealthManagement.com. All right, joining us is candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction for Arizona, running for the Republican nomination, Sherry Sapir, and she's actually going to be in Flagstaff at a meet and greet coming up this Friday at 5 p.m. We'll put the information, the address, and all that in the show notes. So check that out once the show is podcast here by about 5:40. And please subscribe to the podcast by looking up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider. But I guess let's start with this, Sherry. It's been a really tough year when we look at our kids and everything that they've had to go through with the mandates, mask mandates, and virtual education. I guess let's start with that. And start with the impact that this has had on our kids over the last 18 months. Lay it out how you see it.
You know, if there was any scientific evidence that masks work, that children are getting sick and getting severe symptoms, getting hospitalized, and all of the rest of it, we would go along with it. Okay, and last March in 2020, we were all fearful. We didn't know what was coming. We went along with it. But came June last year, a lot of evidence came from all over the world that children were not susceptible to the virus, and that they were not transmitting it in a high rate. So at some point we had to say, wait a minute, if you guys are experts of child development, don't you understand the severe regression that's happening with masks when they don't see any faces around them anymore, when their teachers are not smiling to them anymore, when they can barely hear and understand what the teacher says, when they can barely breathe? At some point, somebody had to say, this is enough. But unfortunately, they just kept doubling down. And when the parents said, we don't want that, they absolutely decided to go against us in every school board meeting. You see that all over the nation. It's not just Arizona. So we have to have leaders that understand that there is no science behind this, that we're not going to spend by seeing our children really having their medical freedom violated for no good reason. Again, if there was scientific evidence, we would go along with it. We're rational people. We're not irrational. This is irrational to keep children out with masks for how long? Almost a year and a half? No.
Yeah. And when you see, you were probably like my family when the legislature came up with the ban on mask mandates for schools. And I know a lot of my listeners were like, okay, I'm sending my kids back to the public school or even the charter school, and I feel good because they're not going to have to do this mask thing again. And then many schools around the state, I'll pick Flagstaff Unified School District. The day before they went back to school, they voted to institute a mandate. At the time, they didn't even know it was, in my view, they were violating the state law. Now there's been judgments made against this, and it was thrown into the budget bill that's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. But what's your estimate on the number of schools that are doing these mandates right now? I mean, is it half of them in the state? Do you have any number on that?
I don't have the number, but I would say, I mean, actually a lot of districts are not mandating masks. They're making it, you know, they're recommending them, which is good. CASA Unified and others do have the mask mandates in place. And they were waiting. They couldn't wait to send that email the day after the court struck down the law, which, you know, is going to be challenged, and rightly so. It is unconstitutional, you know, to send it through the budget, and it's sad that this is the way it happened. Of course, it happened many times before, only now We have the challenges. And what's amazing is who's challenging it. Arizona School Board Association is one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the banning of the mandate. They are using our taxpayer money to go to court to go against the will of the parents. It's unbelievable.
And I can tell you, my daughter started off in a charter school in Flagstaff, and before the mandate, this particular school went a week with no masks, and half the kids decided, the families decided, hey, this is my choice. And I think we're losing that parental choice. And let me get your take on this, Sherry. It seems like the government wants to own the kids rather than the kids making or the parents making choices for the kids and guiding their education. That seems to be the prevalent attitude on schools across the country.
Absolutely. Well, you saw it happen yesterday with the U.S. Attorney General coming out with a statement telling us that basically parents are domestic terrorists. And the reason he sent that is because the National School Board Association sent him and Mr. Biden a letter telling them that they're afraid to the well-being of the school board because they're being members, because they're being intimidated by parents, by angry mobs of parents. And so this is the mentality that we have right now. They're going to the top law enforcement, to the FBI, to tell them to come and talk to parents and see why they're upset about mandates or critical race theory in the school or whatever the case may be. So we're having severe challenges to the parental control that we should have by statute. In Arizona, we have the Parents' Bill of Rights. It's in statute that we have the right to their rights, the education, the upbringing, the moral and religious training of a minor child, and we have the right to make medical decisions on behalf of a minor child. Clearly, when they are mandating masks, our right to make medical decisions is being taken away. That's a violation of the statute. Is anything happening? No, nothing happens. And that's why they continue to get more emboldened, because they get away with a lot of stuff.
They are emboldened, Sherry, because if we're talking about our constitutional rights to petition our government, and look, we don't want anybody to do violent acts, but we do want people to petition their government and stand up and say, hey, I don't agree with this mask mandate. I don't agree with, if you're in California, the vaccine mandate that's coming out for kids. I don't agree with critical race theory. But people, it's almost like intimidation now that we're facing in this country from an overbloated Fed that's saying, hey, wait a second, we may come question you because maybe your language was a little too forceful.
And that's what they're banking on. I don't know the constitutional power that they have to go against the free speech of parents and against their First Amendment rights. So to the extent that they don't have that power, why do they send this memorandum? Because it's enough to intimidate just a few parents. A couple of times they're going to be asked by an FBI agent that's going to knock on their door, what did you do? It's going to send the message to everyone else to just be silent. And that's all they're really trying to do, because I don't think they believe they have the power to silence us. But that's how they'll do it. And it's just intimidation. And it's so tragic when you think about it, because what they're doing, they declared war on parents. It's very obvious at this point. Okay. It's them against us. But number one, who is the victim? The children. And we as parents have the moral responsibility to make sure that they are okay. So if that means to take them out of the public schools until they make sense, then that's what we're going to do. And people ask me, you're running as a superintendent of public instruction. You know, why are you so pro-choice as far as school choice? Let me make it clear, not life. Well, the reason is because I want the system to work. I want us to be able to utilize the system. If my child is being sent home to quarantine when he's completely healthy for an extended period of time, that's against what I want for them, because I want them to receive instruction. I should have the right to take my child somewhere else in a school that their policies don't send a child to quarantine by close contact or whatever. It varies so much and it changes so much and it's so fluid. And we just need to keep up with it. And we don't want to. We don't want our children to have any more instruction interfered, because we still owe them a year. And that's what the system doesn't understand. They owe a year to these children who are, they're back. I mean, they regress so much staying at home. We know the online instruction is not the same as being in person. And so for the system to continue this policy implemented in the schools against the will of the parents, against the law, you know, the law, whether it went into effect or not, that represented the will of the people. That's why the legislature worked so hard to pass it, because they understood that's what we wanted. Why would you, as a school district, go against it? It makes no sense. So we have to have the school choice. To me, it doesn't matter if you call it voucher, ESAs, extension, whatever the case may be. We have to allow parents to say, you know what, it is important for my child to have education that's not interrupted every 5 seconds, that's not indoctrination, but an actual education, and we want to take them somewhere else. It's our money. It is our money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Sherry Sapir is with us and running for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona. So even as superintendent, which is in charge of the public schools, you're saying, hey, I'm in this position, yes, but I believe in competition, and we should have vouchers, ESAs, whatever you want to call them, the backpack of money, because people should be able to vote. If we don't do a good job, or if somebody just wants a different education choice, they should be able to have that option and have that money. Right now I'm paying twice, Sherry, for property taxes and having to send my kids to private school. I have to pay to get them away from this stuff. And I don't, you know, I wish I didn't have that option. I wish I had more options.
Right. Me too. I pulled my kids and put them in a private school last year because the school district didn't open for 7 months. 7 months after my kids were in a private school without a mask, in person, getting actual education, the school district opened. 7 months. Why? Why? Yeah. There's no reason for that. And so to me, absolutely, I was always for school choice, but in the light of everything else that is going on right now. And plus, who would go against school choice? Let's think about this for a second. The Democrats who keep saying that they're the champions for minorities and disadvantaged communities. What better choice and opportunity and equality can you give a child other than the school that their parents feel is best for them? Taking them out of the zip code, out of the area that they're at, and putting them in a better school. How is that wrong? Sure. But they can't explain. All they say is, oh, it's going to bankrupt the system. No, it's not going to bankrupt the system, actually, because we have open enrollment in Arizona. You can move from district to district within the public school. So if you take your child to a different school, you know, from Scottsdale to Paradise Valley, Scottsdale is going to lose the money on that child. So it's going to be the same if he's going to a charter school or a private school. It's the same method. The money followed the child, and he got his education wherever he needed to get his education. The arguments are so weak, and they're so emotional driven. There is no fact, there is no logic behind them, and we have to fight against them.
Let's talk critical race theory and maybe get into some solutions on how we can hopefully fix, I think it's going to be a long road, how we can fix our education system going forward when we come back. Sponsor of this segment of the show is Sun State Tech. Now, since 2007, Sun State Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely. They handle cybersecurity, managed IT services, voice over IP, and much, much more. Let the experts at Sun State Tech keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Visit sunstatetech.com today. All right, let's come back with Sherry Sapir. Let's get into critical race theory and hopefully some solutions for our education. Hang tight, back in a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, we'll get back to Sherry Sapir here in just a second, running for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona. Let's get into critical race theory. And don't forget, send me a text comment, 877-971-3971. Sponsor of this segment of the show is Desert Gold Exchange. And if investing in gold is new to you, call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. Just mention you heard about it here on the show. You get a free investor's kit. You can also discuss if converting a portion of your existing IRA or 401k into gold or silver, if that's right for you. Do your research, read their important risk information, find out if precious metals is right for you. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. And we're talking with candidate for superintendent of public instruction for Arizona, Sherry Sapir. And I want to get into critical race theory now, and it's named many different things, diversity, equity, inclusion. We've had to deal with it. There was some legislation put into the budget that was supposed to kind of ban this and stop this. I guess, Sherry, let me get your take on what we do with this and critical race theory in general.
Oh, absolutely. But I do want people to understand that critical race theory, and when they passed it in the legislature, I was happy about it, but I wasn't putting my guard down. Because you have to understand, critical race theory is not necessarily CRT 101 opt in or out of class. CRT is the lens by which everything in education is being looped through. And it's through discipline, multicultural, bilingual studies, history, everything is through that lens. So even if they're not saying it's necessarily the 1619 project that we're, teaching in the curriculum, that doesn't mean that the way they present the material to the children is not through that lens. And I would argue that it is, because I see what they are teaching the teachers in the teachers' colleges. They are indoctrinating. It's all about, as you said, equity, diversity, inclusion. All of those subjects are what they're teaching them. So the teachers are getting indoctrinated in the schools. By the time they get to the classroom, that's all they know. Instead of giving them the tools to be a good teacher and know the subject matter and know how to teach the children and empower the teacher, they're brainwashing them. So the problem is not going to be solved through legislation, I don't think. There are two ways to do it. Number one is, as I said, school choice, because the more competition you have, if a school wants to teach critical race theory, be upfront about it. Tell us, if I'm going to do sex education at age 5, we're going to do critical race theory, we're going to talk about their skin all day. Let us know. Some parents may opt to take their children to that school, right?
I think a lot would, Sherry. and that's...
Go ahead. Fantastic. That's fantastic. Go and do it. Let us, who don't agree with it, take our children somewhere else. And so school choice, I think every problem you're going to bring up, school choice, I feel, is going to be a huge part of the solution. You don't like critical race theory, take your child somewhere else. You don't like the math, take your child somewhere else. It's just the way it's going to work. But beyond that, it's the culture that needs to change in the department. And the reason I decided to run is because the people that are within the education system in any capacity are so invested in the way the system is and the way the system works. They have zero ability to change and reform the insanity that's going on in there. They just won't. They don't see it. So what are we to do? We need to go in. We need to replace some of the people that are in key positions. We need to make sure that the leadership, including the governor, hopefully, we're going to keep a Republican governor, understands the necessity to fight for education for our children. Because as you said, this is the beginning and the end of this country. It's through education, and it's been going on for decades. It's nothing. It didn't just happen. It's been going on for decades. I would argue since the John Dewey days, 100 years ago. But if we can just get the culture changed, also with the teachers, I would love to have, and one of the things that I suggest to have in the department under my administration is to have teachers training within the department for teachers that come out of these teachers' colleges, because we need to detox them from what they just learned. Now, I cannot interfere with how ASU or any of the other universities teach these teachers, but I sure can give them some extra training and personal development that's not being contracted by third parties from California and Illinois who bring all this equity stuff into their heads and teach them nothing. We can do that with teachers that are veteran, retired teachers from Arizona who can be with these teachers, mentor them, teach them how to teach. And I think it's going to help with teacher retention as well, because they come into the classroom and they're so overwhelmed when they're just fresh off the college that they don't really know how to handle themselves and they flee. But we need to retain them. We need to empower them. We need to keep them in. But empowerment, as far as the liberal goes, is teaching them more indoctrination and equity and nonsense. To me, empowerment is how to teach, how to handle the class, how to handle the budget within the class. You don't need to go and bring all these things, spend all your money as a teacher. We need to support them. The system is there to support them. There is no shortage of money. And this is the kind of mentality and culture we need to change in the education system. It's not going to take a day or two or three.
That's a long,
I have no illusion. Yeah.
It's a long.
It's going to be a process.
Yeah, I've said this, Sherry, and we're talking about Sherry Sapir. This has been in the decades in the works. It's going to take decades to reverse this, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to fix what these kids are learning, what's going into their heads. I wish that we would get into a situation where we would also teach kids more common sense education. We've got this desperate need for people who know trades, who know how to work with their hands, how to do, not everyone's going off to college. I have a simple example here just from last night. I went to a course on stop the bleed, on tourniquets and things like that, just basic stuff. And I'm like, wow, I've been on this planet for 45 years and I never knew this simple thing that may save a life. And I'm like, why aren't high school kids getting this hour and a half long course? It's just common sense things we seem to be lacking with our kids nowadays.
Because we have to understand that the purpose of the education system is not to educate our children, because if that was the purpose, they will be educated. The statistics show that we are raising functional illiterate children, that so many of them cannot even finish high school, that third graders in Arizona, 60% of them cannot read a grade level. They were spending 4 years in that classroom. How come they can't read?
It's because they need more money, Sherry. They just need more money.
Well, the last superintendent report, let me share with like your audience, and they can look it up in the superintendent in the Arizona Department of Education website, as well as the Auditor General website. 2020 finished with about $5 billion between all the school districts in surplus. $5 billion. They're sitting on a lot of cash. That's without the COVID relief money. So they can't tell us that they need more money. No, it's not about the money. It's about the mismanagement of the money and the intentional mismanagement of the money, because if they wanted that money to get to the classroom, they could. And the numbers are, you have to understand, with school choice, we saved as a nation from 1998 about $4.8 billion, because the money that is spent per child in, even if you take a child to most Christian private schools here, even in Scottsdale, the tuition is about $6,500, $7,000, $8,000 a year. Yep. We're spending on average $11,000 per child in a public school. So you would save the taxpayers money if they went to these other schools. Do you understand how, I mean, there's just no argument against it. I just cannot see. And we just need to educate people, because it was a very emotional driven decision. You know, every time they came to the taxpayers with another override or bond or proposition, we opened our pockets and said, sure, we want more money to the classroom, but it never ends there because of the way the system works. So we need to make sure people are educated and understand the money is there. We just need to have the right people in administration that know how to spend the money and make sure the money does go and is spent as intended by the legislature. And right now, it's not the case, because once it gets to the school boards, they can make all the decisions regarding where the money goes. And we see what they do. They keep the money.
All right, Sherry, you are making your way around the state of Arizona. You're actually going to be in the Flagstaff area on Friday, this upcoming Friday at 5 p.m. What is that, October 8th at Mountain View Bible Church, 2150 East Linda Vista Drive. Is this like a Q&A or just a meet and greet, or what's going on there?
Yes, some of the parents that are fighting in Flagstaff, because I do hear that you guys have some shenanigans going on there as well.
Understatement, yeah.
Understatement, I know. It's so tragic. You know, parents should not go through this. This should not be our status quo. We shouldn't live like this, fighting with school boards and the rest of it. We have to fix this. So they contacted me, and I'm very glad to come and see you guys in Flagstaff. Please come and see me. Ask the toughest questions you have, because this is the most important thing. Our children, their future, and we have to make sure that we're getting it right and as soon as possible.
Okay. That's this Friday, folks, 5 p.m. at Mountain View Bible Church. I will put this in the show notes for the podcast once that gets up there by about 5:40 today, so you guys can go and ask Sherry any questions that come to your mind. Sherry, appreciate it and look forward to getting you back on the show real soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Okay, let's look at a text comment here or two. And you can send text comments through the Just Wireless text line anytime, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. Regarding my interview yesterday with candidate for Arizona Attorney General Rodney Glassman, you can get that full interview by going to talkwithjeff.com or looking up Talk with Jeff on any of your favorite podcast providers. John from Kachina wrote this. What party is Rodney running for? He was a Democrat in Tucson. And I did text back to John that he's running as a Republican. He's running in the Republican primary to be the next attorney general. He ran for, what did he run for? He did run for something last time as well. Was it Corporation Commission? I think it was Corporation Commission. And then he actually ran as senator against John McCain as a Democrat. But yeah, he is a Republican. And I let John know that. And he said, yeah, I know. It was a snarky question. I was in Tucson when he was Democrat vice mayor. Thanks for that comment, John. I guess this is going to be a judgment call for a lot of folks because... And there's a lot of people running for attorney general, and we'll try to get everybody on. Everybody's welcome. I've had Rodney on in the past, Rodney Glassman, and he was a Democrat. And if you follow the link that's in yesterday's podcast, it actually takes you to Rodney's website, and he has a video up there. And it's kind of like this group therapy session. It's kind of an interesting campaign video, and it's folks who said I was a Democrat and now I've converted. Basically, it was like this confession type thing. And Rodney talks about, yeah, I was a Democrat until Trump ran, and then I became a Republican. I saw the light moment. But people are going to have to make judgment calls because President Trump was a Democrat at one point as well. They're going to have to say, hey, what have you done since then? And maybe things just stick maybe there's things that he did in Tucson that you're like, I can't let that go. There's Republicans for example, Governor Ducey is getting things right now, and I'll support him on that, but I could never vote for him again if he ever ran for another office. He's termed out now. But once you get that bad taste, you're like, I just can't get rid of it. Because I just don't trust when it hits the fan that you're going to make the right decision. So I get it, John. I get the hesitation. There are a lot of people switching from the Democrat Party, though. They're fed up with the craziness and the Biden administration and this horrible presidency. What are we, 8 or 9 months into this thing? It's unreal what's going on. We'll have this conversation actually tomorrow with candidate for governor Carrie Lake, because she's been accused of, you gave to Democrats and this and that in the past. And I'll ask her that. We'll talk about that with Carrie Lake tomorrow. So a lot of people have to make decisions about, hey, if people switch from Democrat to Republican, do you support them? And I would say, hey, if they're doing the right thing now, then it's definitely worth a look. Thanks for that text. You can text me anytime, 877-9713-971. Love all of your comments. And we'll get back to open lines. I think next Tuesday we've got an open line live listener comment day scheduled. So I hope you'll tune in and participate in that show coming up, because I know a lot of you really want to call in. So we'll get back to that, and we've had to take a couple weeks off from that. Sponsor of this segment of the show is Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. She's in the top 2% of all realtors in the nation. And in this red-hot market, it really does matter who you list your home with. Or if you're looking to buy a home and you're frustrated by trying to get on this roller coaster of a market and buy before you feel like you're going to get priced out of the market, Kelly can tell you exactly what it'll take to get that house that you want. Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors, give her a call at 928-606-6749. 928-606-6749. You can also visit Kelly at northernarizonafinehomes.com. And we did have Kelly on last week talking about real estate prices and what's going on in the market. So if you want to go back and check out that podcast, it is available at talkwithjeff.com. All right, that's it for today. Busy show, and we've still got a lot more to come this week, including I'm expecting to spend the hour with gubernatorial candidate for the Republican nomination. A lot of you have asked for her to come on the show. Carrie Lake will join us, so make sure you're tuned in right at 4:06 tomorrow, and really look forward to that one. And I hope you all have a great, safe night, and send me any comments. You can send an email to talkwithjeff@icloud.com. We'll see you soon. See you tomorrow with Carrie Lake. Take care. Your house needs gutter helmet. Installing over your existing gutters allows for water to flow freely. This is Jeff Orvitz for Gutter Helmet. For over 40 years, Gutter Helmet has been the proven solution to protect homeowners from dangerous ladders. Let Gutter Helmet protect you today and for years to come with their triple lifetime warranty. Seniors, military, and first responders get the biggest discounts. For a limited time, you can save up to 30%. Call Gutter Helmet today at 928-318-6555.